I am Darren Long from Delta Harbor Assets, and in this week's Hard Money, a colleague, Peter Grandage, talks about why he believes in his 39 years of analysis that this is the best setup for precious metals he's ever seen. Stay tuned, because here comes Hard Money.
There are no shortcuts to building wealth today. It takes time, effort, sacrifice, and diversification. But today, diversification means something different than it did in the past. You deserve a more secure way to protect and grow your wealth. At Delta Harbor, we take this to heart. Our mission is to help by inviting you to add physical gold and silver to your wealth strategy. Book a free consultation today and let us show you how to protect and grow your wealth through the ownership of physical gold and silver. Let us show you the Delta difference.
Hey, we're back with another Hard Money podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. Darren Long, of course, is here, and he will be your go-to guy anytime you want to discuss the merits and the possibilities of opening up the part of your portfolio, which would include physical metals, gold and silver. 1-877-323-GOLD, 1-877-323-GOLD. Delta Harbor, that's with a U, Delta Harbor with a U. Anytime to get on board this and at least take a bit of time off the hop to educate yourself about the precious metals and where you should be, and go through your portfolio. See how it's doing. If it's not up to snuff, if you got some gaping holes, this could be what you're looking at. Some gold and silver, physical metals, not paper, not stock market stuff. We're talking the real metals that you can have in your possession or otherwise. We'll get to that a little later on the podcast. But Darren, we chatted quickly ahead of this podcast, like we always, you know, use some expletives and talk about certain things about Canada's economy. You brought an interesting article about residential home investment and how relationship or the relationship to the GDP. We'll get to that in a little later on. First, let's get caught up on the topic at hand, which is always the nucleus of the show, gold and silver, pal. What's happening this week?
Well, as we tape here on Wednesday, John, first and foremost, the Bank of Canada has just announced another 50 basis point hike to interest rates, making the benchmark rate 1.5%, which means mortgages are well on their way, as we had predicted, to 5%-ish range by midsummer. And that is something we're going to have to get used to, because that's the second of many, and probably 3 to 4 more this year, making it very, very highly likely that the amount of borrowing and lending slows as this economy begins to crawl. And today, of course, on point, we bring an article regarding GDP and its relationship to residential investment. But first, John, of course, gold, despite the up and down movements of all the indexes, the TSX, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P, up and down, topsy-turvy all over the place, but starting to lose ground for sure. Gold holds its range week over week, 1840, 1850 range right now, and improving slightly in the afternoon as we tape here. And silver, again, in the 2190 range, just sitting below $22, hovered just above it through the week. But again, both case in point metals for having reached their, what I believe is a short-term low. The sell-offs in these metals are always short-term these days and have been for quite some time. But again, allowing lots of opportunity for people to get into the market. And week over week, we're holding into that zone. So very proud of what the metals have done. And to that end, supply has gotten better. We've, and again, primarily because Delta has a name. So myself being in the industry for 18 years, it's enabled us to go to other sources. So we've called in upon other mints, and we've called in upon other fabricators, and we've got product coming out the yin yang this week. So we're happy about that. And Robert just made a huge inventory purchase. So we're going to have lots of stock in and lots that we can get out to our clientele very quickly, John. And that's what the game's all about. Everybody wants their metal right now, tomorrow. And that's what we aim to be. So that's good news. And product of the week, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit later, but the PAMP 1 ounce gold bars.
Cool.
That's a Swiss product, PAMP Fortuna. People may or may not know it. It has the pretty head on it. Again, vacuum sealed like the RCM bars, and 4.9s in purity. And this is a beautiful bar, but it was heavily bought this week, and we are proud of that product. So just want to highlight that one particular product. And of course, as we said, we got to talk about all this and its relationship to how interest rates are going to impact our economy. And I couldn't think of a better way than this better dwelling article that came up this week, which I think we should discuss right now.
Well, yeah, last week we spent some time discussing and understanding real estate over the past year and a half, 36 months, and part of it the last few months being very, really treacherous, precarious times here in Canada. But today you did bring that article, Better Dwelling, to talk about. It kind of really sets the tone, right, if you will, why Canadians investing in real estate should really, in fact, consider other options at this point, correct? I mean, as you said, 50 basis points and some other factors. How do they break it down?
Well, Better Dwelling is always constantly bringing us up to speed on what's happening in the real estate market. It's some of the good, of course, when times were good, those articles were all talking about the tremendous opportunities and what was happening and how Canadians were making a bundle, and they did. And I think people should be proud of that, John. I want to make it very clear that once we cut behind the scenes and get rid of all the bullshit that's in front of it, and we remove all of this, Canadians have been very successful, and they should be proud of that. And if you're a viewer listening to this, congratulations. I myself was part of the real estate market too. And investing in residential real estate is sometimes very difficult to do, but last 36 months, kudos to those who have made money. I want to make that clear. I'm not all negative or doom and gloom on real estate. I believe it makes and has a role to play in your wealth strategy and should always have that. But it is a great little article. It summarizes the whole issue of Canada's infatuation with real estate and how vulnerable that makes us as an economy. And as we know, John, we've now seen peak real estate values here in Canada, especially in particular in Ontario. And there are obviously going to be little pockets here and there where very special pieces of real estate come up for sale, but on the whole, you can bank your bottom dollar that between now and the end of the year, we lose another 10 to 20%, at least at a bare minimum, of the value of whatever home you're looking to sell, residential properties you're looking to sell. And as we reported on this very show just last week, before the GTA, and by extension, all of its counterparts, including, you know, Simcoe, Golden Horseshoe, out to Bowmanville Way in the east, and even further than that, and so forth. All of those ranges have all fallen or come down in value. And as we said last week in the show, some areas, particularly the sensitive areas around the GTA, they're losing as much as $100,000 a week in value. So as we said last week's show, if you were an investor just 2 months ago and you paid $1.7 million, you put down $200,000 for that property, your $200,000 is just gone up in smoke. It's gone. All that time it took you. And again, I don't say that because I want to belittle that person. It's just be knowledgeable, be educated, be smart. And listening to something like this, obviously, that adds to that. Other regions, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10%, as much as some 12, 13, 14% in loss from the very peak so far. So it comes as no surprise. We're not hearing about this. Not being reported, John. We're not, other than in the case of pointing this article, Better Dwelling, we're very passive about these pieces of information because we're very tied to real estate and how well and successful the real estate industry continues to be. Our economy has become very synced with real estate, unfortunately, to its detriment, as we're going to see. But if you're positioned properly, if you're positioned and well-balanced like we are, and like we suggest you be, I believe that you ride this storm out and that you do very well, in fact. And our reliance on real estate as a component of our GDP has been undeniably historic, John. In fact, it's the highest it's ever been. It's in terms of what percentage of our GDP it makes up. So much so that it makes us completely vulnerable as a country to economic hardship as the housing market deteriorates. So we think it's time to diversify in other ways, including gold and silver right now.
1-877-323-GOLD is that number to reach out to Darren right away. You go to deltaharbor.com, harbor with a U, because it's Canadian, right? You can click on the e-store actually and start investing on your own even before that phone call. You know, it's interesting, that article, Better Dwelling, you're talking about, had the headline as Canadian real estate was responsible for nearly half of GDP growth last quarter. That alone, that headline, makes me think that people just don't know the facts, but it's also alarming to a great extent, right?
It is. I mean, when one category within the GDP components makes up that much, half of the GDP growth just last year, you can't but be tied to it. And so, of course, the government was slow to react. This is part of the reason why they were slow to respond in raising interest rates. They wanted to give everyone sufficient enough warning. They wanted to make sure everybody knew that this was going to happen in order to prevent a hard fall. But it's too little too late, in my opinion, because as we've seen, John, exuberance begets exuberance, I suppose, as all these very house-horny investors piled into the suburbs and condos and detached dwellings, along with the ones building their Airbnb portfolios or their Vrbo portfolios. And everyone did the same thing, John. You know, I can't tell you how many times on a side note, people walk into this office and think 3 months to think about buying 1 ounce of gold. 3 months. You know, they think about everything in their portfolio. But when it comes to housing, they just walk into it and they say, honey, let's buy a house. How much money do we have? Great. I'm going to go to the bank, get a line of credit on, you know, get some of that equity out of our house, our ATM, if you will. Yeah. Buy a spec property. I can paint it. I can do some upgrades and stuff. And they hope for the best. Very passive investing. And, you know, they end up not seeing the full picture, John, because they don't take enough time. The right. biggest concern is simply, where do we find growth in our economy if housing fails? Who or what makes that up? You know, and right now, we don't have any answers. There's nothing behind it. In this Better Dwelling article, in fact, I'll quote here in a second, in the first paragraph, it says, Statistics Canada data shows the gross domestic product advanced in quarter one, 2022. Nearly half of the quarter's growth was due to residential investment or home building. Let me say that again. Nearly 50% of our growth in GDP was due solely to residential investment or home building. So not necessarily just something being made or produced. It's the fees that we pay to real estate agents and real estate companies that were the big chunk of that. We talked about it on some time ago, but it was an enormous number, John, and it's very scary to see this. And the article goes on to say, housing has produced such lofty gains, it's become hard to see other opportunities. This is concentrating risk and makes the country more vulnerable to a correction. Canada's GDP is showing substantial growth, but is once again being left in the dust by housing. So positive news that GDP is up, of course. Without it, we fall into recession, hard times. Seasonally adjusted, real GDP grew 0.8 points in quarter one, 2022, about half the rate seen a month before. At the same time, residential investment advanced 4.3%, an acceleration of 1.3 points over the same period. In other words, as the article says, residential investment grew five times the rate of GDP. Every time this occurs, the economy becomes a little more dependent on real estate to its detriment.
So, I mean, in other words, we're going to go along buying up home after home, paying historically high amounts for these houses, getting in bidding wars, you know, pushing prices higher and higher. And now the other side of this is the fact that it's the old adage, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right?
Well, that's exactly it, John. This is the other part of this equation. And this is why we have the responsibility to not only ourselves, but to our family, most importantly, to make certain that the legacy we leave behind includes a well-thought-out wealth strategy. And when we are living in a world full of the fear of missing out, especially in residential real estate, we tend not to think about the peripheral questions one should be asking. And instead, we motor ahead with this idea that it's okay to add fuel to the fire without any thought whatsoever. And as a real estate investor myself, my plans are always well thought out and they're all long term. I don't buy anything at all. I know what my thresholds are and what I can stand should I make the wrong decision to buy and my asset loses value. If I was buying right now, I'm buying for the long term. I'm saying to myself, look, I could lose half or more of the value of the house and I'm still fine. And that better be the case when you're going to buy a house right now, because it's very likely, it's probable, in fact, that we see that much of a loss in some areas within Ontario and the rest of Canada. I mean, how many people actually, John, take a moment when they're buying a piece of investment property to stress test themselves, right? To know whether they can handle two or maybe three additional mortgage hikes if the rates were to double or triple, which has already happened. It's always the case. They're in the midst of this happening right now. But this Better Dwelling article makes a key point as to why I believe this to be true. And I quote from the article, residential investment was behind a significant share of growth in the last quarter. GDP advanced $16.1 billion in quarter one, 2022, with residential investment growth about 43% of the advance. Canada's economy is seemingly improving, but largely due to warehousing people and not the work most people do. So, of course, John, this is a precarious situation, precarious moment. We're kind of dangling on the edge. And as real estate investment slows, which it is doing, so too does our GDP growth. And we are more likely to see recession, stagflation, the other kind of nasty things we've talked about, which behind the scenes are kind of already happening.
Interesting too, is people go out and buy one, two, maybe three, you know, investment properties, you know, getting high in their own financial supply. Kind of begs an obvious question. That is, you know, as a position in a country, how close are we? Are we super close, in your opinion, to the subprime problem, the mortgage problem they had in the States back in 2008? Because that was a lot of fun. That was nice to see.
Well, we watched in Canada because certainly we didn't suffer like they did, unfortunately. Right. But at its peak, about 36 months, or about 24 months after 2008, the statistics show that about one in six homes is in foreclosure in the U.S. And of course, banks could sweep that under their balance sheet because the government made a rule stating they could, which meant the economy looked much better than it actually was. They went through hell down there. I mean, in Nevada, for example, one in four, Florida, one in four in foreclosure. I know because my family looked at an investment property down in Kissimmee, Florida in 2005. That property was $525,000, prime location, rent throughout the year, make a fortune, killing, southern exposure, pool, everybody knows the type, double master, finished garage, the whole nine yards. That same house ended up selling for $2.25 million in 2008, just 36 months later. So to say that I would lose half a thought, fire sale, absolutely. And that $2.25 million, these are buyers that are looking for it even cheaper. These are not your average run-of-the-mill buyers, because by then nobody could get a mortgage. It's too stringent, too difficult, too hard. And it should come as no surprise that here too, John, we're facing foreclosures. They're on the rise right now. Nobody talks about it. You don't see it on the evening news. And God forbid it take the place of reporting what is very crucial to our existence. We need the news. But again, this holds no prominent place in any media form whatsoever, except for places like Better Dwelling, where foreclosures are actually happening. Interest rates have doubled and then some since their very bottoms. And there's a lot of mortgage industry people and a lot of the mortgage industry itself, which is currently variable rate, right? A lot of the mortgages we hold in Canada, variable rate mortgages. Yep. And so this is causing havoc in many parts of the country, but especially in the metropolises, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, where the most spending was done. But if we consider what this article by Better Dwelling was saying, it might be a better way to describe the situation. And this is the headline of the section in the article. It says, and I quote, Canada is 20% more dependent on housing than the U.S. in 2006. So to your exact question, how alike are we to the U.S.? Canada is 20% more dependent in terms of our economy on housing than the U.S. was in 2006. And I quote from the article, over the past year, GDP briefly began to outpace residential investment. It was short-lived period, with the segment rising 8% in GDP in quarter one, 2022. That's a 0.3% jump from the previous quarter and the highest share since quarter two, 2021. It's down from the recent peak, but way higher than pre-2020 or any period that wasn't a bubble in hindsight. John, this is a warning, right? Make it very clear to our viewers right now. This is your warning. It's a clear shot across the bow. You won't get another. It's your warning. And it's a clear signal that as we call them, the house horny bunch, you know, they couldn't live without investing in, you know, in speculating on houses, one, two, three, four houses. They've overdone it to the extent that it ends up punishing everyone, including you and me. They've not made careful decisions. They've gone ahead and they put themselves in a precarious position in doing so. I mean, you know, you speak of bubbles, right? Many of us understand residential investment due to the U.S. during the housing bubble, where, you know, their experts continuously warned residential investment had become way too large. Households were diverting gobs of money, John, from everything else and just putting it into housing. And at its worst in 2006, residential investment represented 6.7% of U.S. GDP. That's a huge number. And, you know, experts were ringing the alarm everywhere. Canada's economic output is 20% more dependent on housing than the U.S. at its peak. So we are nearing 7+% of our GDP in residential investment. And that is a scary thought, John, an absolute scary thought that leads me to obviously want to be balanced, strategize with my family, the people in my life, own assets like gold and silver, protect against these falls, because it's coming. It's going to hit us really hard.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you put a strong point out there, and the suggestion, the rule, I mean, the order is to get out there, start rebalancing, balancing, or just outright do a good solid review of their wealth strategy to make sure they're not overweight in one area or asset category. And that housing investment property sounds like it could be the worst one. It's like the elephant in the room, right?
Well, simple, John. It's not difficult to do. Sit down, grab all of your paperwork, take a look at your investments, find out where you're invested. Are you invested in areas that are sensitive to recession? I'll bet you are. You're invested in American stocks, Canadian stocks. You're in something that's sensitive to recession. When recession hits and stock markets fall hard, I don't mean 50 or 60 points. I mean, in a day, the TSX loses 4 or 5%. Everything falls, right? There is no protection there. There's nothing that went the other way. They all fall at the same time. Even gold and silver can be susceptible to short-term sell-offs. But that's just white noise, John. Yeah. Again, I remind people every week that I'm not here to be their financial planner, advisor, bank manager, accountant, so on and so forth. My expertise lies in precious metals and what they have done for people. That's the data. I didn't create it, and I don't manage the markets. But if you're looking at something that could essentially balance and diversify your portfolio, how about 20 years of information showing that on the whole, gold has on average made between 9 and 10%, silver has made between 9 and 10%. I can't think of anything better, right? Yeah. Housing is not that better on average, only in the short term, right? Nothing else. Stock markets, nothing. Nothing has averaged that long with that kind of return. Gold and silver historically have done that lots of times. And sure, John, in the short periods and bursts, we see gold take off, silver follows, and silver's like gold on steroids. And yes, you can make money doing that. There's no two ways about it. You're positioned properly now in these low-priced markets. You will inevitably stand to a good chance at making a huge amount of return where you can protect it, pull that principal, put it elsewhere, re-diversify, rebalance. But over the long term, I can't think of a better way to balance what you have in paper with something like this. So yes, am I encouraging selling of real estate? 100%. Go and talk to the people that you trust the most, but get out. It's going to fall harder. It's going to lose a ton of value. It's not the time to be buying. And if you look at, you know, somebody asks, well, Darren, what do? I have a balanced and diversified portfolio. It includes tons of assets, real estate, which is one of them. But also it includes physical gold and silver, gold bars, gold coins, silver bars, silver coins. I put it into my registered accounts. I store it and I use the vaults just like our clients do. I believe in the exact thing that I'm talking about, and I use it every day to make a difference in my wealth strategy for my family. Does it afford me the extra vacation? You're damn right it does. Does it afford me the ability to have my own business and run it how I see fit? You're damn right it does. All of that came because I smartened up 18 years ago and decided to take a path that very few travel, which was to own physical gold and silver. So I thank the high heavens every day that I'm in that market. But gold and silver have just completed a very nice little simple oversold phase. We've just come off of that. We spent a week in the same price range, which is great for averages, building a brand new base. If you look at a chart of gold, I do not believe whatsoever that gold has much more downside here at all. The risk reward looks very good at this point in time. And I think that both gold and silver here over the next couple of months show us some nice, nice, shiny moments. John, I think that we're going to advance and that throughout the rest of this year, especially come fall, man, the fireworks are going to start. So you've got your opportunities coming into the summer now, the cost average to add positions, do all that. And I believe both gold and silver have already begun a new cycle that started very, very short while ago. But ultimately, as I said, and I say on every week's show, if you're a value investor, you got to go towards silver. Silver is what I like right now the most. It was the most oversold of the two metals and ultimately represents the best value. In fact, I think it has the greatest story on the face of the earth of any physical asset you could possibly own for investment, bar none. And what it might do or what it's capable of doing is second to none in the world right now.
1-877-323-GOLD. By the way, the number to catch up on the information, educate yourself with Darren or a member of the team there at Delta Harbor, or start investing, start opening up that part of your portfolio, as Darren just mentioned and does mention several times on the show. Peter Grandage is a colleague of yours. He's an analyst, commentator, long-term gold bull. And he's been right on numerous occasions, Darren, about his calls for gold and silver to rocket higher, released a short video. I don't know if you've posted that or not, but what did he say, basically, in a nutshell?
Well, number one, Peter Grandage is a colleague and been in the business for near 40 years. And he's made a lot of great calls. I mean, on the whole, he's 80% or greater correct on his calls. And he did release a video this week. I pay attention because he doesn't make that stuff too public too often, but I do pay attention, and we did share it socially, so it's on there. Maybe we'll put it in the newsletter. He agrees, number one, inflation is way out of control. We're looking at another 2 or 3 years of this, and it's going to continue. The feds in the U.S., here in Canada, other places in the world, too little, too late. Doesn't matter how fast they crank those interest rates, the damage is done. The cheap money was out for too long. The cat's out of the bag now. People know it. Now everybody's playing the chase game, and you know what happens when you play chase. Right? Last in, first out. Yep. Real estate investors' worst nightmare, which is occurring right now. He agrees also, as we said last week, that interest rate hikes are one of the only ways to cure the problem. It's the best medicine for the problem. It's just, it's too little too late. But he also says in this video that, and he calls it this, it's the title, it is the most bullish precious metal setup in his 38-year career.
Wow.
And he basically tells the viewers he's out of the market since last fall. He felt markets were in their largest bubble ever. And he also acknowledges it's hard for average investors. We were saying the passivity of the mindset of the Canadian investor. It's very hard for the average investors to understand what a real bear market is, what real panic feels like, John. And you know, how quickly selling can become an avalanche of sorts, right? An unmanageable avalanche. There is a point at which banks and higher authorities, you know, often referred to as things like the fund protection team, there is a point at which they can't control the cascade in which assets get sold for a dollar. Look back to Lehman Brothers, all the various, you know, positions that have just completely vanished over the years when we can't do anything to stop those falls, right? And that is eerily upon us. When we see stock markets break down 1,000 points a day or plus, those can represent the worst days in historical averages for a lot of traders. And that's happening right now. So ultimately, does it pay off to pay attention to people like Peter Grandage? Sure it is. But his thought was that the passive investor is going to be hurt the most. Seniors are going to be amongst the hardest hit in this inflationary environment because they're fixed income, right? So they're going to be among the hardest hit. Passive investors who have paper investments in mutual funds, ETFs that they never look at, never glance at, just hope for the best quarter to quarter, they're going to lose a fortune like they did in 2008. Again, he's saying that it could approach astronomical highs. Some people lost as much, John, as 50, 60% of their net wealth in a stretch of probably 5 or 6 months. So can this happen again? Yeah, it can. It can, absolutely 100%. And because we built it bigger, and we've used more debt, and we've had less organic growth than we did last time, this is a big house of cards that can fall. So I think that, you know, barring what Peter said, I think the next advancing phase for both gold and silver are extremely dramatic moving forward. I always think we should be cautious during certain particular periods of time, stay till May, then go away, right? A lot of stock market investors, They take holidays, everything. So watch for your value opportunities now. But also for those looking to sell off and get out really quietly, these are the months in which they do it, right? In which we could see stock markets crumble, in which we could see economic downturn occur. And again, every seller, there's a buyer. So there's a ton of people watching this who are on the precipice, if they're positioned correctly, of becoming the winners in these situations, right? Like we said on the last week's show, fear is not a terrible thing. But when fear enters the market, that's when I buy. And when greed is at its, you know, height, when nobody's fearful and we're all passive because we're thinking about drinks on the dock at the cottage, and we're thinking about travel, and we're thinking about baseball season and all those things we do in the summer, which we're entitled to do, means we're not thinking about our money. And we should be taking a couple of minutes a day, at least a few hours a week, be thinking about our strategy and what we're going to do. Be careful, be smart, and be greedy when everyone's fearful. That's the time to pile in and buy it when nobody else wants the asset, you know, when it's not doing anything, when it's very quiet, be contrarian, right? When gold takes off here, it's going to 2,200, 2,300 easily. That's a starting point. Silver, I would guess easily 30-ish range, $30 range, $32 range in there. And that's the beginning. Both of these, I believe, by next spring are off to very astronomical highs. Silver's hitting its all-time high. There's my call for you to steak dinner, I'll bet you right now. But ultimately, I think this is the moment. This is the moment we define ourselves by. So you got to get in there. Consider your options. Consider what choices you have right now.
Yeah, you know, I talk about choices, and one of those is getting into that market. And last couple of minutes of the show here, Darren, on this podcast, is we break down some of the choices you have when someone swings open the door to Delta Harbor and wants to get started. What are we looking at?
Well, let's just start with the simple, John. Oh. Go to the website, buy some product, make a payment for it. It's shipped to your place. Nice, simple retail transaction, nothing more to it. You can see the products, their various prices, their live price. You can hold them in your box. You can check out. Once you check out, you make your payment, it's sent home to you, and we'll keep you up to speed every step of the way. All shipments over 1,000 are free, and they are insured. Every shipment is insured, and there is tracking on every single shipment. Of course, if you don't feel safe taking your product home, you can store it, right? No problem whatsoever. Store the product, and of course, take your time. Review what we have and offer a store. There are several places around the world where you can store your product. The most common is here in Toronto, just in Mississauga. Vaulted insured storage, where you, the accountant, your name, it's your product. The inventory we send out, the report we send out, will include bar numbers if you wish or desire. And you can visit your product. You go see it anytime you want. Just make an appointment, go show up, park inside the vault, and they bring your product to you. That's another option, storage. And then, of course, the registered accounts, John. People can put gold, silver in a TFSA, in an RSP, a spousal RSP. Heck, last week we talked about RESPs, right? Yeah. You're planning for your child to go to college, university. This is a really underused investment opportunity for you. You're already putting money into your other various vessels. I mean, not taking advantage of the government matching program and being able to prepare yourselves so that you have a buck or two to spend for your child's education. Educate yourself. This is an option. You can have gold and silver in there among all other assets that you can already invest in. So that's another option for you as well. And the beautiful thing with registered accounts, John, before we move on to bulk bullion, is that registered accounts can come from anywhere. So if you're a client watching right now and you have your money parked with another institution, no problem. Call us. I'll move it over free of charge. We'll cover everything. We'll get you done. We'll move you over to Delta. We'll show you how it's all done. And there's no strings attached. There's no tax implications. It stays under the umbrella of the RSP or the TFSA while it's being transferred from institution to institution. And you can have as many of these RSPs or TFSAs as you wish to have, as long as you don't overdo your contributions. As long as you're adhering to your contribution limits, you can have as many RSP accounts as you wish to have. And the great thing about the registered accounts, John, is often it gets people to start thinking about where they are invested.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, when people come to us, they're distraught once they've found out. It's an unfortunate situation to be in, but they're frustrated. They're saying, you know, everybody else is making money. I made 3%. Well, that's not enough. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you get called from your bank, your portfolio manager, your accountant, anybody, and you say, yeah, listen, at the end of the day, John, you're up 3%. That's bullshit. It's a terrible, terrible gain. You know, not even enough to thwart the effects of inflation. So, you know, ultimately that's what the goal is. And then the last opportunity we have here is if you're an investor and you just want exposure to gold and silver, you want physical, you don't care about bars or coins, and you're not really, you know, wanting to pay the higher premiums for gold bars, silver bars, and gold coins and silver coins, there's a way to decrease your premiums almost to nothing. We buy bulk bullion, we put it into storage, and that bullion is spoken for on a one-to-one basis by clients. So I'll have 1,000 ounces of silver, let's say, and 1,000 ounce bar inside the vault, and all of those 1,000 ounces could be owned by 1,000 different investors or one investor. And it keeps premiums down. It means we can buy in large industrial bars, thereby keeping our premiums down so that your premiums and what you pay is much lower. And that particular account involves storage, but buying and selling by phone. And the best part about it is if I put 1,000 ounces of silver in there and I was going to buy it anyway, now I can use that 1,000 ounces as collateral for another 1,000 ounces additional. I may have the money to buy 2,000 ounces, but I don't have to. I can hold some money back, some powder, keep it dry for other opportunities that are coming along, still have 2,000 ounces. And if at any time I feel it's not right for me or the situation doesn't favor me making more money, I can pay off that I used as credit facilities. Again, not obligatory, but an option for those that want to consider the bulk bullion account. We call that the Delta Vault account. It's on our website as well. John, all starts with a visit to the website or a phone call to that number. It's easy, it's physical, and I want to encourage people to educate themselves. It's important, we need to do it right now. Cut through the bullshit, stop listening to everyone and taking 50,000 different opinions in. Be your own person, do your own research, become your own central bank, own physical gold and silver.
And that is it for another podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. You can reach out anytime online, all the usual social media outlets. That's Delta Harbor with the U, Delta Harbor on YouTube and Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. Of course, the phone number always works. Pick it up. Ask for Darren. Talk to him. 1-877-323-GOLD. Have the e-store right off the top at deltaharbor.com. That's a good way to start investing with your credit card online and get a taste anyway, right? Move up from there as you increase your position. But always just get on it and at least start by getting educated. We'll catch you next time in this podcast, the Hard Money Podcast. We'll see you then.